Right up to the glass. Hi, welcome to the Actual Play podcast. This is Stars Without Number, episode 6, part 2. Stars Without Number has a mechanic in it called short-term and long-term goals. And there's some XP variations, and one of those XP variations essentially rewards you for accomplishing those goals. There's other ones that reward you for simply playing sessions, other ones that reward you for accomplishing, like acquiring wealth. And we decided to go with kind of a fusion model, which was a base 2 XP for the game and another one if you hit any of your goals. And really the, and then a bonus 3 if you hit your long-term goals. And I think we might have made a misstep here in not acknowledging that this was really Atlas's long-term goal since like day one, which was finally to talk to Horatio Long, albeit he got to talk to him in a very, very abstracted way. We pulled some shenanigans to represent this, to do a little bit of immersion as we could, that didn't translate 100% towards to audio only versions. We did some texting. Jay a few times muted himself and just sort of mimed some things, but I think we sort of discussed them enough that there's enough context that everything should come through in the audio. I apologize if there's any uncertainty. Suffice to say, talking to Horatio is challenging. So I hope you enjoy as Atlas tries to connect with his creator. Hello, we are back for more Actual Play Stars Without Number. We just got Dr. Long Jr. to agree to unlock, unfreeze Dr. Long Senior, and then some more, in a glass tube, in a white-walled room, so that we could communicate to him via text messaging. Senior to the power of 9, says Tomes. Yeah, that's
nice.
Right. I mean, it feels like on a TL4 space station, especially with Sphere's resources, that creating a room like this is totally, totally a doable thing.
Right, right. I agree. Yeah.
You know who I think should actually be in the room with them, in my opinion, is Timothy. Because someone's got to get him like out of like cryo and like help him to resuscitate him,
right,
and all that jazz. That's my vote, is that Timothy's in there to basically wake him up.
Did he need any kind of equipment to wake up or anything?
So I think that all the uncryo, unfreezing, dehydration or rehydrating, I think all that stuff Timothy can handle. And I think, right, they can bridge detect to make that work, right? I think given a little bit of time, they can find a room, clear it out, make it tech safe. That's what Dr. Long is, Ernest Long is worried about. So they can strip that room down, white box it. He's kind of getting the Hannibal Lecter treatment, right? In fact, I think it's like a room inside of a room, right? Kind of thing, right? That's how serious Dr. Long is, right? And then he's like, yeah, no, there's no text messaging, right? We're going to give this guy the tech 4 level version of a pen and a pad of like some paper, right? Maybe it's dry erase because we're green, right? He's just going to have to, right? And then wipe it down, and then, right? That's where we're at. Right?
He uses an Exasketch.
But yeah, I was going to say, it's the future. He just shakes it. Right. I also love that, by the way, we're waking up our Hannibal Lecter character with Timothy and Raven in the room, and we're all out of it. So it's definitely like, as the audience, I'm like, oh man, this is going to go bad for those red shirts.
Yeah, right.
It could go that way. So, or maybe he's just a nice guy.
Yeah, so I think Timothy certainly is hands-on, getting him up, checking his vitals, that kind of stuff, right? I think there's a stripped-down bed What's the smallest size bed you could get an adult size human on? Is it a twin?
Twin, there's probably smaller than twin, but twin is conventionally the...
Right. So there's probably a twin size bed in there, right? And again, I think it looks primitive to the beds we've seen so far, right? So it's very on the floor, the thinnest mattress we could get you, right? On it, right? I think
it's
like
the 3-inch thick memory foam chopper that you get for your mattress without the mattress.
Yes, without the mattress. Yes, I think that's what he's got, right? Whatever clothes he's wearing when he went in the cryo, that's what he's got, right? There's a chair. And like I said, Timothy, they beat up on a little bit about what he could take into the room with him, right? And I think they were cool with biotech things, right? Pills, water, glass vials of water, things like that, syringes, that type of med tech equipment. But I think they made him go old school. So whatever, as far back as we could get, that didn't have real tech in it for getting his vital signs, maybe he's got a stethoscope, right? Maybe he's got to do some things old fashioned, right? Because they're not letting him use a lot of tech around this guy, right? And then Ravens, go ahead.
I love that our paranoia is so high that from the TV audience watching this, we can't tell whether this is like the Hannibal Lecter character that we should all be scared of, or if this is like, if like we're the big bad evil company. And this is the, you know, this is the Sean Connery character from The Rock who's being let out of jail. Like we don't know whether we should root for Horatio or not right now. And I love that.
Raven's job is to protect Timothy, right? And Dr. Long makes no bones about that, right? He's like, your job is Timothy should not get hurt or not a piece of hair on his head, right? I don't care about anything else, right? So that's her whole job. They're in. I think Timothy, the whole process of rehydrating Horatio and getting him up and around, it might be 20 minutes, right? And then I want to say there are a set of defined hand signals and words that we're all on the same page on. And Timothy kind of gives the all clear, he's good, right? And then he kind of steps away from him while, again, watching and monitoring his vital signs. Ernest Long is watching. I want to say there's like CC cams, right, and recording. So Long isn't visible, but you know he can hear everything and he's watching everything.
Cool. How immersive do we want to get here in terms of emulating this limit of communication? Should we simply, I mean, obviously Hope and Dartha and Atlas can talk amongst themselves, but when we're talking to Horatio, should we type it in Roll 20 chat? I'm just wondering, because it's limited, right? It's mm-hmm. Or we could just talk, but I think even if we decide to talk, we should acknowledge that that talk is not like,
right.
Chatter back and forth.
Right, it's this, right. If Dr. Long is having his way, we're writing things out, right?
Yeah.
And exactly. Showing it up to the glass, right? Because yeah, Horatio right. Can't hear you from his side.
Exactly. Right? And vice versa.
And vice versa, right?
Right. And I think the difference with Dr. Long is that he's listening to what right. In Horatio, right? Like
right.
we're specifically not listening.
Right. He's listening to both sides, but he's the only one that can hear both sides, right? Nice. But there's no connection between Horatio's room and your room. He's that nice. Paranoid, right?
Yep. Separate mics, separate right. Separate systems. Yeah. What do y'all think? Should we just talk it out, or are you interested in?
I think it'd be really fun if the three of us like deliberate on a question and then we type it into Roll 20 once we have like the final question.
Yeah, I think that's great. It's good radio.
I do want to, so I think with Dartha, I'm listening to what's going on and I'll weigh in a little bit, but I think I'm less focused on the inquisition of Dr. Long Sr. So if you guys want to handle more of that, but I definitely want to hone in on Ernest Long, like emotionally, because I don't know how, like, I get that he's who he is and there's a part of him which is like, well, I need to protect things here and I'm in control and whatever, but he's also meeting somebody who is his great, great ancestor person.
Yeah.
And like, you know, just want to like kind of like tap in to his emotional state.
All right. At some point, when you ask me a question about his state, we will make a skill check for you. And that will be a notice. Nice. So you let me know when you're ready for that. So I think this is going to be awesome. I think Horatio, they get him up, right? You can see the whole thing happening there, right? And then you kind of get this kind of thing going.
I love that Jay's muted himself.
Yeah, so you kind of got that action going on where he's confused, right? His body language is kind of aggressive, a little hostile, but because he's confused and he's not sure where he's at, you can kind of see layers of his intellect where he's like, ooh, I better play this cool because I don't know what's going on. But at the same time, I also got to play up that, you know, I'm confused, right?
Right.
So you got that happening there.
That indignance.
Right.
He's you know, got the right to, I suppose.
Right.
I suppose being trapped in a, woken up after many years.
Yes.
So, So Hope turns to Atlas and she's like, I think we should cut to the chase. You want to write, I'm Atlas, you made me?
Introduce ourselves.
What's that?
I said, I was going to say that we should introduce ourselves. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I'm Atlas. These are my friends, Hope and Dartha. How are you? Is that weird to ask about you?
I think that's totally fine.
Also,
I think Hope is literally writing it. Like, she's talking to you, and she's actually being described. If that sounds good to you.
Yeah. Totally.
I think it's funny because from the audience perspective, we're like, that's such a like very strange and like just kind of casual question. But also like, this is the guy who is kind of responsible for Atlas, right?
He knows who Atlas is.
Yeah.
So like, this question would not be weird to him, maybe. I don't know.
Right.
I think... do we know the timeline for Star's that number? What year it is at the start of the game?
Ooh, there is one in the book.
It is not in the book?
No, it is in the book.
Okay. Because I feel like Hope would want to be like, oh, BT dubs, it's like 600 years since you've been asleep.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Feel like that's really relevant information, and I don't know it off the top of my head, but it is something that is like known in the... in the world, like it's something that's within the book, like what the timeline is. Let's see if I can find it. This index is not the best.
Is that, by the way, something that Hope wants to put on this particular message? No, right? Because you already sent the first one.
Yeah, because it's
put up the first one.
Yeah. So I'll be looking this up while we see what he says.
Uh-huh. If I were really as cool as Atlas in my real life, I would just know that, but I don't.
I would just know it to the millisecond.
I mean, all of us would know, like with, like what year it was at least, right? Presumably.
Hopefully, yeah.
So I think. What you see is Timothy pointing to your side of the glass, right? Let's talk about this messaging, because I might have it wrong. How do you see this messaging happening?
I think we're both writing on pads of paper and holding them up to the glass.
Okay, all right.
For perfect. The other one to read.
Right, so I think Timothy points over to the other side, right? Because I think for whatever reason, Horatio, right, I think he sees it, but he's not seeing it, right? Or he doesn't want to see it, right?
Yeah.
And then there's some back and forth, right, with him and Timothy, right? And he throws his hands up and he's doing that. And he's very animated, right? Yeah. And his posture's all indignant, right? And then he looks, right?
I think I'm going to add it then. I'm going to like add on the bottom. Oh. just like, mm-hmm. And again, for those listening in, what I wrote is, oh, it's the year 3200.
Nice. So then the next thing that happens is, he's given like the pad and something to write with, and then his whole face just explodes like, what the fuck? Right. And then he like drops it, throws it on the ground. Right. And you see, Raven kind of, unshoulder her rifle. Right. But she still has it straight up and down. Right. And, Timothy's all gesturing, trying to explain. And, Horatio's not having any of it. Right. And then finally, Timothy picks it up, right? Picks up the pad and the pen, and their postures kind of calm down a little bit. There's some words back and forth, and then Timothy writes on the card, right?
Cool. I like that. I'm scribing for you, and Timothy is scribing for the like the levels of separation here are delightful.
Really, like my goal was to have a talk with Horatio. I'm right. Not talking to Horatio.
Yeah, you're not talking to Horatio now. Timothy, it takes him a minute, but he gets the message written down, and this is what comes across.
This is asinine. Where am I? Who are you people? What game is this?
Okay, I think we should say, this is not a game. You are aboard Tarakan Station. You were in cryosleep for 600 years. I am the true AI Atlas. Can all that fit?
I might have to squeeze it in.
Okay.
How do you spell cryo? C-H-R-Y-O?
I think just C-R-Y-O.
I love that you start writing it in big letters and then you're like, oh, right. This is long, and you start getting smaller.
Hope like goes in with the big uppercase and then realizes that Alice is just going to keep talking. It's like, oh shit.
This is not a game. Yeah. She's just like, slow down. This is not a game. You're aboard Tarakan Station. You're in cryosleep for 600 years. Atlas is your true AI creation.
I think I speak up and I'm like, maybe Dr. Long is concerned because he thinks that after 600 years, we're reduced to paper and pencil.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's what his concern is. I feel like I ran a game many, many, many years ago, ironically, of Agon, where the heroes were all in a convention game room and we had a webcam pointed at them. And right. There was another game where I had a laptop with a projector and I was projecting the heroes onto the wall, and we were playing All the Gods, and we were using some other system, some sort of homebrew pack of a couple different games to play the gods. And so the gods could see what the heroes were doing, but not vice versa. But like the heroes could ask things of the gods, and then we could like chat back to each other.
Nice.
The god wants this, that, and the other, and it just feels like this weird, like, separate. Yeah. Anyway, I'm digging this difficult comment. This difficult one.
Back and forth. Nice. Yeah, I think at this point he doesn't even turn. Right. You've got like a. So the glass is here, right? And you've kind of got this profile. He refuses to look over at the glass, right? So I think Timothy has to read the message.
Oh my God. Right?
The levels of paternal rejection inherent in this interaction.
And he is, he's reading the message back to Horatio, right? And then he's shaking his head. There's some conversation. And then he stands up and he walks over to the glass, right? And he's looking at Atlas. And then he goes,
he wants me to get closer to the glass. I get as close to the glass as Hope and Dartha will let me.
Mm-hmm.
Am I allowed to get close to the glass?
I think so, yeah. I think there's this great camera shot that is like both of your faces coming together. Mm-hmm. You know, just like you have in like every like Superman v Batman, you know, like every like standoff, but there's a sheet of glass in the middle.
Yeah, in the middle.
It's your faces getting very close together.
I get right up to the glass too.
Right, right.
That is the cover of this episode, by the way.
Yes. And he does. He moves over to your left eye, right? And he's trying to look into your left eye, right?
Ooh.
Right? Psych. He's looking in there, right? And his mouth is moving, right? I think it's it's that crazy scientist thing. He's talking, but he's mostly talking to himself.
Okay.
That is, by the way, the official name of this episode now, right up to the glass.
Nice. I like that. Yay. That is perfect, right?
It was asteroid, but now it's.
Then he steps back a little bit, and then he puts his hand up on the screen, right? Up on the glass, and he goes through a series of gestures with his hands, right? And then he points at you, right? Because he wants you to do the same thing.
Hope, right? I don't know what that means.
Okay.
I'm going to sense Dr. Ernest Long now.
Yes.
For two reasons, because right. I think one, he's been relatively silent up till mm-hmm. this point.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say he's been very observing, you know?
So Hope added a little bit of her own. For anybody listening. Yes, you're not. You're not responsible for that, but Hope writes it. I don't know what that means. Also, if you're trying to gain control of Atlas, it won't work.
That is beautiful. I like it. Do you say anything to Ernest Long? Dartha?
Me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he can hear you. And
yeah, he can
Horatio
hear you.
Can't hear you. So if right. you just speak up, he can hear you.
No, you know what? I'm going to backpedal a minute. Okay. So is Ernest is he in the same room as us?
No.
So he's like he's watching over the cameras.
Right.
But we're not in the same room as Long. Like, are we in the
You're in the outer room. Yeah.
The outer room. Right.
So there's a big room, right? And then there's the fishbowl and Horatio's in the fishbowl, right? You're in the outer room.
Yeah.
And Horatio can see and hear both chambers.
Ernest can hear. Yeah. It's okay.
Do we know if Ernest is able to he's able to communicate with us, right? There's some kind of speaker system or comms or things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to hold off then. I think I'm just going to continue to watch the thing play out.
Gotcha. Timothy reads that message off to, I mean, and you can see it from his body language as he is reading the new message to to Horatio. And then you see he gets a scowl on his face, right? And then he does this quick like that and turns his back to the glass and goes and sits back down, right? And he's kind of in his head for a minute, and then his composure he relaxes, right? And he's cool and calm, and he says some things to Timothy starts writing down.
Can I have Hope also write something as Timothy is writing?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I want you to write, I think I understand how you feel. I was also asleep for 600 years. Just gonna do some empathy right now.
Now it's a question of like, who could type faster?
That's right. Ooh, typo. Here we go.
It's all good. Timothy can make a mistake.
God, this is so much fun.
Yeah, I love it. I'm not sure how folks in stream are feeling about this.
I'm having a great time.
Yes.
Oh, man, I feel bad for him. For those listening, what Horatio said is, I will see my legal counsel now. That's so sad. We should write that he's not a prisoner.
I mean, he kind of is. I mean, we're not letting him out.
Are you committing a human rights violation?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I think if we maintain this, we certainly are.
I think Dartha finally speaks up now because I have certain authority over certain things that I'm sure my friends may not be familiar with, as far as like, you know, the organization, et cetera, right? So I think the response is just, you do not currently have any legal counsel. But
all right.
That sounds very simple, right? But I think what I'm, like, I know that the way he said, I will see my legal counsel now, like exactly what you're supposed to say in the books legally to get the legal counsel. And I am saying exactly what constitutes you do not have the ability to get legal counsel. You're off the grid right now.
Yeah. I like try to make sure that Timothy reads him the I understand how you feel, I was also asleep for 600 years line. Like try to make sure that he read, like I make sure I see him mouthing something. He's right. Reading that before I then write the next message.
Gotcha.
And it says from Dartha.
I want to add one more thing. Which is that
I scrape it off and start over.
The people on the station are afraid of you. They are also afraid of me. I think we have more in common than you're realizing.
Wow, that's a lot.
Will it all fit?
That's right, will it all fit?
There's gotta be like a character limit for these messages.
Yeah, Hope's wrist is getting stiff. She shakes it out.
Well, Hope doesn't have to be the scribe. You volunteered for this position.
Oh yeah. I think, I mean, at some point that's totally fair. Like she can be like, here you go. You can write these messages. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's a good transition. Hope is like, you know, maybe it's better if there's fewer intermediaries here, and she hands you the path.
Yes. Okay. I get to write my own shit now.
Yes, you can type your own stuff.
All right, I get to type.
I love that this is like space Twitter though.
Yeah, it's space Twitter. So Timothy reads everything and he sits still in his calm, relaxed mode till it all comes in, right? And he's nodding through it, right? His whole demeanor is different. His whole demeanor is different. His whole attitude, posture-wise, is different. And then he looks up at Timothy and he's talking to him again, and Timothy nods, and he begins to write back down. Horatio gets back up. He stands up from his chair and walks back over to the glass, and he's up close to the glass, and he gives everybody a good 20, 30 seconds look over, right? Taking it all in, of the three of you in that room.
Question. Mm-hmm. Can I use my psychic powers through this glass?
I would say yes.
Then I think I want to read Horatio. using some of my telepathic contact type powers.
So you have, what is it? You have telepathic contact, yeah. What's your telepathy up to right now?
Right now it's a one.
So one, a shallow gestalt of the target's language center allows the telepath to, which you have, you know his language. So to understand any form of communication made by the target. It's a psychic, has requisite body parts to speak the target's language, they can communicate in turn. So you can speak with him, but I think you can also read, let's see, what's the basic single contact. Yes, on level zero, you can observe emotional states in the target. Intense emotions provide single word, and at level one, you can communicate back and forth. But I don't know that you can actually read specific thoughts, but you definitely get emotional states. It does require you to commit one of your effort, but you got plenty. You got five. You got effort at go-go.
Yeah. So I think then I want to try to transmit that kind of, I guess, that thought or feeling that we're not the enemy here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also trying to, I think, gauge to whatever extent I can, you know, even if it's just like an emotion or something, or just kind of a general approach. Like what Horatio's, I don't know, state is?
Yeah. I missed some of that. You just have to spin the effort, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the effect, right?
There is a save for more powerful effects of like actual mind reading, but right. I don't think there's a save for communication. Like he can refuse to communicate, but I think no matter what, Dartha can get his emotional state
right
and
right.
talk unless he just like won't talk back to her.
Right.
And for what it's worth, you also have facile mind, you know, which makes you even better at this kind of communication. You don't have to spend the effort for the scene. Presumably it just makes communication with you, telepathic communication, that much smoother as well.
Nice.
Do I also have transmit thought down there, or was
you
that?
You,
yeah.
So that just allows two-way communication too. But I think I just go straight in there, and I'm just like, we're not your enemy, but we don't know your intentions.
Right.
And like I'm talking to him kind of, but like part of the reason I'm there is, you know, is to figure out if I can see his emotional state and what his approach is.
Gotcha. I think when you do that, initially when you get in his mind, right? There's like a tinge, right? If there's a smell, it's a slight hint, right, of fear and desperation, right? Just a little teeny tiny hint of that, right? It's like the cinnamon in an apple pie. I've got all these other things. I have to work a little bit, but I can smell the cinnamon there, right? It's like that. The rest of them is cool, calm, calculating, right? He's concentrating, focused on pulling in all the data, every little bit of everything, right? He's observing everything. He's listening to what is being said, how it's being said, and looking for an opportunity, right? That's where he's at.
So I think I hear that, and I communicate something else back to him, which mm-hmm. is, and he can communicate with me if he wants to, right?
Right.
At this point, but, and I just say, you know, the more we're able to trust you, the more access and freedom we can probably provide. But it may be slow coming. But like I'm kind of giving him that hint that like I know what he wants, right? He wants more access. because then he can make more calculated decisions. Like, he's a thinker, right? So, like, I'm given him the opportunity to do that. Like, that's the direction you want to go. We can provide that direction. We need to trust you.
Right, right. There's, because you're in there, and this is what you do. I think you know he knows he can communicate back and forth. He seems surprised at this contact, right? But he's downplaying it, right? And he's ignoring it, right? And he looks at Timothy, and he's talking to Timothy, and you know the message that's coming, right? Because you're in his mind right now, as Timothy is writing it down, right? Ooh, I heard the beep.
Yep, I see it.
Oh no, this is not going in the productive direction for me.
He says, I have rights. I'm a human citizen of the Aligned Vela Systems. I request my legal counsel. Why is my mind being violated? Am I being charged with something? Does the Aligned Vela system exist?
Not anymore. Oh, no. Not for over 600 years.
Yeah. And I love that he's talking about psychic powers as in, oh, well, obviously they're legislated because they're so common.
That's right. Legislation
is not quite the same. I kind of, oh God, what are we, this poor
man. Yeah, I think Hope looks at Dartha kind of confused. I don't think Hope has ever telepathically communicated with Dartha, but knows that Dartha is a psychic. So sort of looks at you confused, like, who's doing that? Not like you're doing that, but like,
right. It's not like, cheating,
do you
right?
sense somebody, is Doctor, is you know, is Ernest Long secretly a psychic?
Like, right, right.
It's just like, what?
What?
And that's when I just, ooh.
Which is exactly what Horatio is after, right?
Right.
I think I would like to transmit thought to the both of you, Hope and Atlas.
Cool.
Okay.
Do I need to spend effort for that? It seems like I do for like transmit thought or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's only for the scene because of your facile mind. So you get it back at the end of the scene.
Right. You get it back.
Right. And so it's just, you know, me saying that was me. I was contacting Horatio Long and trying to get a sense of his approach. And I believe that he knows. And I just kind of like fess up like all the stuff. Like, I know that he knows I can do it. He's kind of downplaying it. And I just kind of spill the beans about what I know,
okay.
You know? But I'm doing it telepathically to both of you. So there's right. two weird things here, right? Like one, obviously I don't feel comfortable saying it out loud because I don't want her.
That's you know, right.
So I'm trusting you with this information, but also like I'm talking in your head, which I don't think I've exactly done in that way. And definitely Atlas to you. I don't know if anybody's ever talked directly in your head either, right?
I'm but not right. like beyond other AI, no.
Right, right. I was going to say Hades Kennel 3 did. Like,
and Prometheus did as well.
Yeah. But I don't imagine it's the same. It might be. I don't know. It might be the same synapses. I don't, I'm not sure. What do you think, Dominic? Do you think it's the same kind of communication from your perspective?
I think it feels subtly different, but the difference is subtle enough that my initial thought is like, is Dartha an AI? I mean,
nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Timothy, because Horatio isn't looking at us. He's like turned away from us, right? So I think Timothy sees like Hope's eyes go wide.
Right, right.
Right, she doesn't say anything. She looks at Dartha and she's like, I didn't know. She's like, it's like thinking. She's like, can you hear my thoughts?
I think I want to write. Oh man. Because I would have a really good grasp on history. I want to say, and I'm going to float this by Hope and Dartha. The Aligned Vela systems haven't existed for several centuries. I apologize for the use of telepathy It won't happen again. And I'm looking at Dartha like, right?
Right. he gets up from his chair again. He walks over to Timothy, and he takes the board and the marker, and he's writing on the board, right? But again, he's kind of sideways to the glass, right? Because he's not looking across, and he's writing. And again, he's got that crazy kind of mad scientist body posture, and he's talking. And then at some point, he looks up at Timothy, and he looks over at Raven, right? And he starts laughing, and you can see it in his body, right? And he finishes writing, right? And he turns and he puts it up on the glass for everyone to see.
Nice. I like the Atlas and Horatio are now as close to possible communicating directly, right? Like you're it's holding up the
entire goal for yes. several weeks was just to talk to this man.
And it's notable, like I think we're, you know, because Horatio is as tough as he is, as squirrely, you know, he's as clever as he is, that it seems very difficult for us to communicate with him. But it's notable that both of you are diplomats,
right?
You know how to get your way in personal negotiations, yes. and can manipulate, and can manipulate the attitudes of those around you. While smooth words are versatile, they only work if your interlocutor is actually willing to listen to you. Gain talk is one skill. You speak language. Reroll ones on skill checks. What is the one? Oh no, I think it's just you, Atlas. I think you have the sort of commanding presence ability where you can basically get someone. You have authority. Once per day, you can make a request to an NPC who is not openly hostile to you. Roll a lead skill with a difficulty equal to his morale score. If you succeed, they will comply with the request, provided it's not harmful or extremely uncharacteristic. So just throwing that out there that you have that,
yeah.
that authority.
And I always forget to use my my foci. Yeah. I want to know what I just saved myself from.
Yeah, exactly.
What was that?
Jay's last message for people listening said, Alice, make a physical save if you can read this. And then I made a physical save. Successful.
So but what it is Dr. Long quickly wrote out a string of ones and zeros up on the card, right? And put it up against the glass. So everyone else, you just see a string of zeros and ones and zeros. Right? But for Atlas, right? You know how you take your phone and you show it a QR code and it knows what to do?
Yeah.
That's Atlas, right?
Oh my God, this man is playing four-dimensional chess.
Right. Yeah. So that's what the physical save is for, right? And you feel that. You feel that code was supposed to run, right? Because at the end of the day, right, no matter if you're sentient or not, right, you still got code running through you.
Yeah.
And you can change that code and that kind of thing. So you can feel that it's essentially like a virus, right? It's trying to take over, right? Physical aspects of you. But you make your save, right? So you're aware that that's what he was trying to do, writing out those zeros and ones.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, like, there's also, you know, advanced firewalls that run code in a quarantine instance.
Yes.
Where you can run the code in like a wildfire instance where you can see what it would do on an emulated machine
right.
and then terminate it before you actually release it. So I can imagine like Atlas having the ability to be like, sure, I see that code, but I'm not just going to run it in my core processor. I'm going to analyze the effects of it first.
Can I figure out what the code was and what the purpose of the code was, what he was trying to do?
Oh yeah. I think essentially he's looking for opportunities. And so if you'd fail that save, you would take, game-wise, you would take damage from that. Essentially, he's just trying to take over your shell and be able to affect his escape using you to do that.
Okay, I wanna write back and I'm gonna say, whatever you want me to do, you can just ask. I'm gonna write, we have given you lines of communication, there is no need to use, what's the word? Like, subversion?
Force? Subversion?
There is no need, yeah, force, that works.
Like, Hope doesn't really know what just happened. She's just like, I see a bunch of ones and zeros, but like, she's suspicious. So when you're like, you know, obviously there's something communicated, and she's like, what did that say?
Oh, it was just some code that was, it was just bad code.
I think Dartha, like, I raised my hand, that one of my pseudopods, and it's a symbol for Raven, who's watching from behind across the glass.
Right.
That, you know, to take it up a notch as far as being aware of the situation. Because, like, I'm not fast enough to react to, oh, these things come up and what do I do about it?
But right.
I do have a background where I know a little bit about, like, programming stuff, right? So, like, after a second, it's like, ah, shit. Like, that's what he's doing, right? But by then, like, that's, I'm a slow life form, right? By the time I figure out what's going on, like, that would have already processed or not, right? So right. I just pseudopod to Raven to be like, you know, like, arm your gun, have it like.
Yes. I mean, you should cock your gun right now. Make the gun cocking hand signal. The universal. Like, the
says, get rid of the guy because he's a danger and he's going to kill us all. It's not that simple. It's just right, the one right. that's like, yeah. Okay, like, be aware.
Right.
Nice.
I'm going to write something else. I'm going to write, I just have some questions I want to ask you. I repeat, there is no need to use force.
He gives the board and the marker to Timothy. He turns back to the glass and he's kind of like,
once again.
That was intentional. He turns and he walks back to the cryo thing. And he looks at Timothy and he says something to Timothy and he crawls back into the cryo little chamber thing and he lays down.
This little dramatic shithead.
Right, this here, right? Timothy writes out, and I'll say it, but Timothy writes out, he says, wake him up when his council gets here.
Wow. And I mean, with TL4 technology, going in and out of cryo sleep is not like inherently dangerous or too problematic, but it can't be fun.
Yeah, no, it's not fun. Like, yeah, it's not fun. Like, yeah, yeah.
I want to write back, don't put him back under, tell him he's being a dramatic little shithead.
Timothy does say, after he gives you that first message, and Horatio gets in there, and he walks over to the bed, right, and he takes the blanket and the pillow off of the bed, right, and he goes over to the cryo chamber, and kind of puts him in there, and he gets in there, throws the blanket over, right, kind of like that, and
Timothy, himself in.
Oh, Timothy says, but he did say you were a good kid, Atlas, and that was right. He was kind of proud. You're a good kid, right? I think whatever he tried to do, I don't know what you did, but he seemed to be happy about that.
Paternal approval.
It's the thing we all need.
My AI dad thinks I'm a good kid. Oh my god.
Yeah. Hope is like sitting there. She's like, I still want to moon this glass. That guy, what a brat.
Maybe we just need to give him some time. We have time.
Yeah.
Like, this is flashback to the beginning of the episode.
That's right. We got time.
We got plenty of time. We got time. I don't think we should. And she gets on the PA with Ernest Long. She's like, clearly this is going to take, this is not going to go as smooth as we hoped it was. But as long as he's kept in quarters, I don't think there's any reason to put him in cryo again. Let's just give this another shot tomorrow. What do you think?
Well, I didn't think you were getting anything out of him today. I had planned to keep him in the fish tank and the larger room guarded 24/7.
Okay.
I don't know how long it's going to take, but I didn't think you were going to, think it was today.
You know, the good news was he tried to execute some code on Atlas and it didn't take. Atlas is clearly evolved. He's more than what Horatio made him. Like all of us, he's grown and he's his own self. And like Hope is saying this, like with that, like she's talking about you in the third person, but like,
right.
It's because she's talking to somebody on an intercom. It's awkward to like,
right. I'm standing right here.
Second person is awkward when you're talking about somebody to someone else who's not there, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, let's just end this nonsense for today and get him some food, and maybe he'll be willing to talk again once he's put food in himself for the first time in 600 years.
I think I'm also going to respond to Ernest Long, right? Dr. Long Jr.
Right.
And say, you know, his motivation is information. He's trying to figure out how to get out of this box. And the more information he has, the closer he will get to getting out of the box, but also the more he may trust us. So I would recommend giving him just the basics of how law has changed in the last 600 years, given the very large event that occurred back then, with a lean toward his lack of representation. Right? So like we're giving him information, but it's not information that he can probably use to escape. It's information that he can use to realize there is no legal counsel coming and he is at our whim, right? Legally. Like I'm not saying whether we would be bad people or not, but right. He knows no one's coming to save him.
Right. He says, I disagree because I don't know how smart he is. I don't know what he knows already. I don't know why they put him in cryo, right? Why they put him away with on that vault? Where did that vault come from? He knows more than we do right now.
Oh,
so I don't want to give him.
Prometheus had thoughts about that. She very much thought that this whole purpose of this vessel was a way for Draco to hide, and that the combination of Atlas and herself could reassemble Draco's code out of the depths of the well. And Horatio was definitely involved in that, and I don't know how, but she seemed very aware that Horatio was in league with Draco or working with Draco or serving Draco in some capacity.
Yeah, there's just so much we don't know. And we are crossing a line. He does have rights, right? He has legal standing, even if the Vela whatever is no longer, right? He's still human. And that comes with some rights, even in this sector, right? So we are doing a bad thing. And the day will come, we have to figure out how far across that line, right, we're willing to travel. Even if that means we put him back in the cryo, that's still a bad thing.
Yep.
So I'd rather get more information from him than we give to him. I think we gave him a lot today.
So we, feed him? Give him whatever other basic necessities and leave it till tomorrow?
Yeah, no, we will feed him. He will be treated fairly. Better than the prisoner. But
he is a prisoner, and we just have to accept that that's what we're doing. We don't have to like it or think it's the right thing to do.
Right.
But I think we all need to fess up to the fact that he's been our prisoner since the moment we pulled him off of Hades Kennel 3. He's just now conscious about it.
Right. That's very true.
You can object to it, but whether we leave him in cryo or whether we wake him up, he's our prisoner either way. And
I feel like Atlas, just because he's soft, would want to know, does he have to stay in the fishbowl overnight, or can he have somewhere a little more private to sleep?
And I think Dr. Long's like, yeah, no, he's got to stay in that fishbowl till we know more, right?
Oh,
right now, he has the advantage as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
He's got to stay in that fishbowl.
That's so upsetting. Having some real, like, politics of surveillance, like panopticon feelings about
that. That's right. Yeah, it's not absolutely. Supposed to feel good, right? It's not supposed to feel good, right?
Right. No, I mean, I think we are in a really, yeah, I mean, I think, Dom, you were asking earlier, you know, like, is it a human rights violation? And yeah, he's being held without cause. Unless we say, no, every single person who worked on this project was in fact guilty of causing the scream, which murdered
right.
A bajillion people.
Right.
And as a person, I'm leery of making real world analogies because I think that this that gets into a very dangerous space. But as a person who formerly committed like genocide on a giant level, whether they did it intentionally or not,
right?
I don't think Hope feels so horrible about the idea that we're effectively holding him on trial at this point. Even if we haven't really assembled counsel or anything of that.
Like, right.
That's got to come, but he has committed some pretty heinous atrocities or been part of them. Or at least we think he has. We're finding out.
Right, we're finding out.
Okay, he can stay in the fishbowl.
But then Ernest says, I think I do like if we can find printed materials about legal standing. Mm-hmm. I'd be okay with providing those to him as long as they're printed materials.
There's this thing called a printer, and it makes any digital material.
Yeah, we have a printer. That's how I got my mug. What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's where my hat came from.
So maybe we can provide him what the dry, scholarly legal documents are of the time, and maybe some history about where we are currently in time.
Yeah, he's not going to just be able to download the last 600 years,
right?
And
I can write up a super condensed timeline for him. I have it all in my head now.
Nice. So, printed materials? Yes, we can give that to him, and we'll feed him right. Right, we'll treat him right. But he's got to stay in that fishbowl, and he'll be under guard.
Cut to Atlas back in his quarters typing a history report.
Nice. I think that's perfect. I think maybe you're working on that. Because does Atlas sleep?
I think Atlas only sleeps when he just like needs a break. I think he doesn't need to sleep, but he enjoys being like tapped out sometimes.
Right. Gotcha.
I think... because he's trying to condense 600 years of intergalactic history into like 5 to 10 pages, he is not sleeping.
And so then let's stay with this because I like this. So you're going to put that together for Horatio Long.
Yeah.
Are you trying to impress your father?
I think like I want to be helpful and I want him to know that I'm not an enemy. And I think that doing this and doing a good job of this is a way to convey to him that like, I'm okay. So yeah, short answer, yes.
All right, so let's make that a perform skill check.
Ah, shit, okay. I shouldn't have said yes to that.
Yes is good.
Is that with intellect?
Yes, it is.
Okay, let's see how this goes. Oh, I'm stressed. Okay.
There you go. It's a basic result.
Yeah. No, that's good. All right, that's good. Because eventually, at some point, he gets this, right?
Yeah.
And that will help me decide how he feels ultimately about Atlas. No, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah, no, for me as a facilitator, GM, guide to the stars, I like to make the mechanics help figure out the answers I don't have, right? And so this was perfect. You're putting that paper together. I think, like you said, I think you're up late. You're trying to get it right. I think you've got it condensed, right? I think even as an AI, because it's going to somebody you care about opinion, right? Maybe you're making iterations through it, right? For personal things, right? You think you might like it this way or phrased this other way. All the information is there. You're not going to make it any denser. Now you're just trying to personalize it.
Do you place it in chronological order or by order of importance?
Right, right, right.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that, but Atlas.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you get, you know, 47 versions of the same draft, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah, exactly. Right, and I think you have like some crazy number of versions, right?
In there's parallel. Like a version with no semicolons and a version with semicolons wherever you can justifiably use.
Right.
Is Horatio a fan of a well-placed semicolon or not?
Oh, we're not, right? And maybe there's some Horatio Long research going on to help you write the paper you're going to give to Horatio Long, right? So I like that. I think all that's going on when the station gets hit, right? When the impact occurs, right? What do you do, right? Because you feel that, right? The whole station shakes, it jars. I think you feel it being an AI. You have some level of awareness beyond human ability, right? I think you feel the station drop levels in orbit or position in orbit, right? You can feel it shift in orbit from that hit. I think you can feel or you're aware of parts of it getting ripped and the integrity being compromised, right? You feel all that happening.
I think that because I know I can survive without a vac suit, I would want to just like run straight into danger and see how I can help. Mm-hmm. But I don't have any connections to the like municipal authorities of the station. Right. So I don't know how to contact like the fire department or search and rescue to be like, put me in. Right. So I think
know the Numa 6 is mm-hmm. the station manager.
Yep.
That might be a thing that's Atlas would know just from downloading the specs on the station.
Right, that's the AI, but okay. Not a true AI.
Yeah,
I think I would like contact the station manager and say like, this seems bad. Where is it the worst, and how do I help?
Nice. I'm gonna come back to you.
Okay.
You're not going to like the answer.
Okay.
Dartha, the same for you. I think it's, I want to say late night, but it's probably better to say early morning. I think time is different for Atlas being an AI. What's sleep like for Dartha?
Yeah. And first of all, I love that last scene with Atlas. Like, I can totally imagine, like, Atlas, you must have talked to the station before, right? In a previous episode or something, right? But I like that first time. It's like, you're a true AI and the station is like a
VI?
Wannabe AI.
Right, wannabe AI.
Like, I like that maybe there was a little bit of chess, like, I'm going to communicate with you and see how far you can think. And then you're like, oh, there's the loop. That's how far you've gotten. You know, so like even now when you're calling for help knowing how to talk to this thing, like at its maximum peak intelligence. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
That's so cool. So this is what Dartha does. Dartha is, I think we see that, yes, she's in a kind of like bowl that looks kind of like that hospital bed where she was like a blob before.
Right.
But we see that she was kind of in there, but not as a full blob. There was like appendages over the side. I think because she was in like a kind of like state of kind of being ready to get up.
Right.
And I think as soon as like this alarm kind of wakes her up, like it's a surprise, but like she immediately gets access to certain levels of information. right? So like, yeah, there's the general alarm for the general populace, but because she's a couple of security levels deep, right, she'll get the, oh, this is how fucked things are kind right of alert, right?
Right.
And what's interesting is she gets up and immediately grabs her like a communicator device, turns off the tracking location so she can't be tracked right now, and frantically is calling Clack as she's running down the hall to that safe deposit box.
Wow. Okay. All right. All right.
He is not prioritizing. She is not prioritizing other people's like lives right now.
Right. Right.
He's
right
actually turned off the ability for somebody to get in touch with her.
Right.
And it may be that it'll only take a minute or two to get to that room and get what she needs.
Right.
So that's a short period of time, but this is an emergency. So mm-hmm that's still a lot of time, right? But that's what she does.
Gotcha. I think that aliens like you and Clack and Sinclair, I think your quarters were all kind of in the same bay or neighborhood. So it's easy for Clack to catch up to you, right? And in fact, I think that section, I think I said that earlier in an earlier episode, it's kind of quarantined and sectioned off. That not anyone could just roll through there because that's your safe space. That's your kind of ecosystem. They want that place to be home and comfortable for the aliens that are there because the whole station is super human centric, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, yes,
there's definitely like some corridors where like the atmospheric levels are not safe for humans.
Right. Right.
Like that, right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think Clack does catch up with you. He's your guy Friday, so he's right there with you.
And I, you know, I just ask him if he's got it, and he says no. You know, maybe it's still in the, I don't know. Maybe right it's still in the thing, right?
In the safety deposit box, yeah, yeah.
Right.
No, I think it is. I think it's still in the safety, because he didn't, I mean, no one anticipated this asteroid hitting the station. And
I think Clack is smart enough to, like, if you're cool with this, like, to go, I can get it for you.
Right.
Knowing that I have other responsibilities,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And so I'm going to trust him with this extremely important thing, so important that I have not checked in yet for right the 30 seconds it took to get here. And I'm going to let him go, and I open my comms, and I just start sending out, like, commands a little bit or whatever.
Right.
But mostly just try to see, like, you know, how are we going to get people off the ship? How am I going to get off the ship? You know, are like the docking bay still working? Like all the basic information we need to know, are we going to survive this thing?
Right, right. No, that's perfect. That's perfect.
Do we have lifeboats?
Right. Do we have lifeboats?
That's my first question. Do we have lifeboats?
Nice.
I feel like Atlas would know evacuation protocol just from having like downloaded the station specs.
No, and I think you do, right? I think you do.
So Alice knows that we have lifeboats.
And there are, right? There are lifeboats, escape pods, right? So Hope, I think we left you. You grab some stuff out of the locker in your room, mm-hmm, right?
Here, grab just like my back suit to breathe just in case we hit air. And then Hope was really trying to funnel people into the neck. Like she knew that she just had this feeling that it was going to breach. And mm-hmm she was trying to funnel people into the next airlock before the breach.
Right. I think you're the last one through that airlock as it begins to close. And you can hear that whole backside just get ripped right off. Right. In fact, I think you can feel some of the air in that hole.
I imagine that the door is like closing and then it like slows as air is getting pulled through it. And, you know, not that I think honestly Hope is strong enough to in any way materially affect it, but she's shoving it like as though she could help it. Like it's like fight or it's, you know, it's a like panic response. But
right. I'm pretty sure. Do we have that here? Yes, make a notice check for me, please.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing I'm good at.
Yes.
And if I'm good at, I mean not good at. What stat do you want me to associate with it?
Pro- Probably wisdom, I think. Wisdom or dex, I'll take either one of those.
Oh, I'll take dex.
Right, I'll take either one of those. You've got a crowd happening. They're all moving away from you as you're getting that, you're trying to help that door close. I think there's a moment where it shuts, it seals. You take a breath, you turn around, you see it's a panicky crowd and they're moving away. They're trying to move to safer sections.
Yeah.
And that's when we're making this check, right? You kind of taking it all in real quick.
Okay, I'll take that. 11.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. All right. You see two anomalies, two things that don't fit this picture of panic and chaos, right?
Yeah.
One's a kind of a big, burly dude, sandy, dirty blonde hair, like surfer kind of haircut kind of thing happening, right? He's looking the wrong way. He's looking down the hall where people are running toward him at, right? And he's just kind of scanning the crowd, right? There's a woman, small, maybe about 5 foot five, 5 foot six, right? But she's definitely got a casing on probably a rifle, some assault weapon, but it's covered on her back because that's the way Raven carries it, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not Raven. But they kind of dress the same, mm-hmm. right? And she's in the hall, maybe 15, 20 feet ahead of him. He's on the left side, she's on the right side. She's moving kind of up the down the hall, kind of through the crowd, but he's stationary one spot, just kind of scanning the crowd as it's moving through.
Does this look like Rook and Knight?
Hell yeah.
All right, because I know Knight. I've seen her before.
Yes.
But what I don't know is if they're after me or not. Or if they're after somebody else, because they've been like cleaning up town here.
It's time to pay the mortgage.
But you know what I can do? I can find out. So I'm going to be like, I assume that there's like multiple different ways around that I could conceivably go. Like, I avoid them?
Yeah. Or do I have to? No, you can. You can't avoid them. Right. This is kind of a main hall, but there are side halls and folks are just, they're flooding down this hall, but some of them are impatient, so they're hitting off side halls.
All right. So in the, like in that way, like I kind of stare down the hallway and then we see me like run up and kind of like, we see me like peel off and go around a corner. We see me like flashback and run up and like look at them. I think we see me like just run up and clock, like clock Knight, like before she can get her, try to grab her gun. There's like a couple things that that are all playing out in like meta-dimensional space, and I'm expending effort to use my oracle ability to ask what will happen if I go and talk to them. Like, are they after me? Is there, you know, am I going to go into a fight? Can I talk to them without it, turning into a thing?
Yeah. I think the possibilities come down to a handful. They are after you, right? In the most probable possibilities, right?
Right.
You don't die in any of the possibilities they're trying to capture you, right? Yeah. And most of the possibilities where they're trying to capture you, they have these manacles that they put on you, and those manacles make it difficult for you to use your psychic powers.
Oh,
right. Snap. Yes.
Sonic manacles. Yes.
And there are some possibilities where there's some conversations being had.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I think all that's there. But they are definitely looking for you. I'm gonna cut back to Atlas.
Cool.
You had a question that you were asking the station manager.
Where is it the worst and how can I help? And I feel like you're going to make me regret asking that, but I'm just trying.
Yes. So the station manager has been hacked, right? So it's got that hacked, jacked up, glitchy voice. Then it kind of clears up and it's Prometheus's voice. And Prometheus says, it's probably worst where you're not at, where your friends are. You can
help.
What
are you trying to say?
You can help by meeting me down in Bay 8, get in my ship, and let's get back to the vault and do what you were made to do.
I'm not going anywhere with you.
Then I will make sure this station touches down on Annis Toll in the next hour. There's another asteroid on its way. You know, those things are easy to push from out here.
Do I know if I get on comms, will they be intercepted by Prometheus? Can I communicate with Dartha or Hope without her knowing?
You can make that happen. I think you just need a program check.
All right, let's roll. Oh my God. Why do I have skills and things that I don't need and then not have skills and things that I do need? With
You've got program.
Yeah. I was going to say you used program before.
Yeah, no, I have +0, but I have +2 in punch. Why do I have +2 in punch and people are not in programming?
Well, if you go down to Dock 8, Bay 8, she's probably down there.
You can punch her. You can punch her.
Okay, we're going to roll
program. She does have a Gatling gun.
Shit, I rolled a 7.
And yeah, it is intelligence. I'm sorry.
Okay. I rolled a 7.
All right. Fair enough. So you think you've got an encrypted channel to wherever you needed to be. I need to make an opposed roll. And for drama, I'm going to do that over here where you can't see it.
Oh, no.
Dun, dun, dun.
Jay, you're so good at this. I'm so stressed.
Oh, no, it's all right. It's fine. Everything should be fine. You got this.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, what I want to say to Hope and Dartha, whether it's overheard or not, is that that asteroid was Prometheus. I'm meeting her in Bay 8. Stay clear. Which I think that Prometheus will appreciate the stay clear, because I'm not being like, hello, reinforce me.
Right.
I'm going to gallivant my little ass to Bay 8. I'm so scared.
SmackDown. I like it.
Very fair. Oh my God. There's so many things I want to know. We should cut to Dartha next, I think, as we're sort of doing this rotation.
Right.
But I do think in part of that communication, there's definitely Hope being like, Prometheus is here. I wonder, do we know if Prometheus is also wanted? Like, would these guys be after Prometheus? Probably not, but
I think it's safe to say they don't know about Prometheus, right?
Right.
They don't know about Atlas either, right? They don't know that they don't know. That's out of their class?
Yeah.
Or scope, right?
I'm just trying to think if I could offer them something more tempting
than me,
right?
Yeah.
But I don't think it's got, you know, there's...
Yeah, I think they don't AI. Know enough about true AI, right, to know that it's worth something, right? You'd have to sell that to them.
Yeah. Which was my fantastic talk skill. Okay. That's great. No, what's up with Dartha, right?
Yeah, so Clack is on a mission. We'll figure out how that turned out. What's Dartha doing? Again, it's... Dartha, go ahead.
There's parallel things that she's doing. She's like multitasking, right? So like part of it is definitely like she's in a position of authority for some subset of the population here, right? Maybe even a small group, just because it's other agents or people who report to her. And she's got people who delegate. So she is immediately communicating to them and trying to get shit going in place. Like, are people being taken care of? Are they doing the right thing? What's the status of the shit, of the station?
Right.
You know, how do we get off ASAP? Who can get off? Where do we go? All that kind of stuff, and communicating that abroad. So like, really, that's what she's doing on one level, because Clack is going and doing the thing that she really needs to do, but she can't, or she trusts that Clack will do it. right?
Right.
And
right.
So she's able to do this.
All right.
Cool. But what I'd like to find out is, how do we get off this place? Like, what am I communicating to friends here? Like, are we going to a certain, you know, bay? Is there a ship? Is there a, you know, that kind of thing? Our ship,
right.
Squidly, whatever.
Squidly. Right.
Yeah, my assumption is Squidly, which is in Bay 8.
Yeah.
Perfect. So that's what gets communicated even before I hear from maybe from Atlas, or maybe right after I hear from Atlas. I'm like, right. Oh, that's perfect, because that's where we need to go.
Right.
Right. And like, I'm communicating to the both of you and, you know, other, you know, individuals like maybe Tim Raven or whoever else makes sense to go to Bay 8. And that's how we're going to get off this place.
That's right? Perfect. That's perfect.
And are you communicating to us telepathically, or are you communicating to us via?
No, I think just straight up with the communicator in this case, because like, this is like emergency, you know, they're just emergency messages, right? Like, I don't feel like we're trying, I personally am like, oh, this is an emergency and we're trying to get off. I don't know that we're trying to hide this information from anybody.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Also, I know that Long is responsible for Long, right? So Long Junior is responsible for Long. So I cannot make the call on what that looks like. So right. I know that I'm not making that call.
Okay.
Yeah. But is it your appraisal that this Terracon station is going to be destroyed, or is it your appraisal that it's damaged but salvageable? Like, is that what Darth Vader, like, you want to get off off of it, but is it like, oh no, this whole thing's going to explode and we need to get off now?
That's a really good question. Like, Jay, what do you think? Like I'm not making this decision because I, you know, need to get off the place. It's more like what extent has the damage has been reported? Like, is it like, hey, we need to take emergency procedures and get off this boat on life rafts?
Right. Just
to
make sure. Yeah. So make a no skill check. We're going to make it an 8 since you have access to, actually, no, it's a 10 because the station manager has been hacked.
Can I help you with that?
Yes.
I think I've seen some stuff. I think I've seen some of the damage up front and, I actually have no, so let me give it a whirl. Because we're talking over comms, so I can like give you like my own personal damage report. Like my quarters like seconds ago got ripped apart.
Right.
And, yeah.
And that sort of thing. So.
And I think I think there are consoles, right, that you can check into. Like, you physically have to do it because you can't trust the station manager to pull all the information together. So you can get snapshots of things, right?
Right.
Where the station manager would have pulled it all together and gave you an overall view, right?
I'm not helping. I think my information is just too isolated. It's too immediate and not general enough.
Or you're distracted.
Or I'm distracted. Yeah, I've seen the overcomes and like, yeah, it looks real bad. Yeah, I just, yeah, my, all my keepsakes, they're in space now. and I'm saying this as I'm like staring at night, right? I have a plan of what to do, but like,
right.
I'm going to wait until it's sort of rotated.
This session has been so sad.
It's been a rough one.
Clueless old man who wants a lawyer, and then all of Hope's shit goes into space. Like, no one is winning right now.
Prometheus feels like Prometheus is doing all right. She seems to be like employing the scorched earth policy of, I will get what I want, and I don't care how many people I have to kill, destroy to do it.
I feel like Long Senior is doing okay. He's got an opportunity here.
Yeah. He's awake. He's getting food. He's got kind of a bed or two.
The original psychos. Original baddies.
All right. So I'm just rolling straight then. My note.
Intelligence roll.
All right. Oh.
There we go.
That's upsetting.
I think that's what I'm getting is like, I'm like hearing your information and you're like something about your thing getting ripped off, and I'm checking on the, you know, like on the console, and I'm getting kind of conflicting information, especially from the station, where it's kind of like, maybe I don't know if it's downplaying or upplaying like the situation.
Right.
But
I like it. So here's what I will leave us with. Because it's 11:20 is what I have, central time. I think I will say a thing. You get to say a thing, and then we're just going to leave it there. Cool. For hope, I think whatever you've got planned, I think at some point Knight sees you, and she reaches for those manacles that you've seen, right?
Yeah.
She reaches around her back.
Uh-huh. I wanted to preempt that, but my plan is to teleport behind her and grab them off of her.
Nice. So that will be a test, right? Yes. I think you can still do that. That'll be a test, right?
That is my hope, is to like be like looking for these, you know.
Nice. And, I like it. I think we see Atlas. You're going to Bay 8.
Yep.
Right. So I think we see you coming into Bay 8. We see a small ship, maybe a two-seater kind of ship. And we see a droid there, right? It is not Prometheus, but it's got Prometheus's face on it, right? Kind of digitized on it, right?
Yeah.
So I think when we see that, we know Prometheus isn't on the station, right? This is kind of a proxy for her, right?
Okay.
I think, in fact, we see that, right? And then we see the Queen's Pawn ship right next to that, in the bay next to that. And then we see Squidly one over from that.
Yeah. All the cool ships are all right.
That's right, all the cool ships.
Right. It's like the Millennium Falcon and Luke's X-Wing. And, you know, they're all just parked right next to one another.
And a TIE Fighter, right next to each other.
Right, and a TIE Fighter. And then I think wherever Dartha is, I think maybe you're making your way to Bay 8 and kind of taking on responsibility of making sure folks get to the right avenues and places they're supposed to be in for escaping, for where their lifeboats are, for where the escape pods are, that kind of thing, as you're making your way to where your designated station is. I think Clack catches up with you, right? He's talking super, super, super fast. And he's carrying Timothy, who's limping with him, right? Right? And it looks like Timothy's got a wound, right? It looks like he might be bleeding or something, right? And that's where we'll leave it at. This is our Empire Strikes Back, right?
Yeah.
That was so stressful.
Nice. It's just going to get juicier next time, right? Like, it's just going to... get you know, all the action. We'll find out what happens.
Nice. Let's do XP.
Yeah, let's do that day. Let me pull up the things. Dartha, I've got your sheet up right now. So let's see. I don't think you've got your goals on here though. Do you?
I did. I updated.
Yeah.
On the bio it. And info.
Yeah. So our group goal sort of shifted.
Yeah.
Because of scope to being find out what we can from Horatio Long. I mean, I
agree.
That's to me what this focus before the calamity. That's what this focus was on. Like we wanted to do that. So. And I feel like we worked on that.
Yes.
We did that thing. What are your personal goals, Thomas?
So my personal goals were to, and I have them on the, I actually put them over on the bio and info tab on that thing.
Oh, okay. I'll pull that up.
I just forgot that it was down there at the bottom of the character sheet. Try to strengthen the almost non-existent bond between Clack and Hope and Atlas. That still hasn't happened yet. One day we'll get there. I have my mini cryo tube. Clack is entrusted with it. I don't know. How did that end? Does Clack?
Yeah, Clack does have it.
Okay, sweet. Then yeah, Clack does have it. That'll answer that. And then find out what went wrong with the RKB contract. That's not a thing. You just need to hit one of them?
Yeah, you just need to hit one of them.
Yeah.
So you got one. So that's the XP, which I think, if I remember correctly, we'll put you at 18 XP total. Yep. So you are level 5.
Yes. See, you got this.
Yeah, we totally got this. All right, Atlas, how about you? What was your...
Okay. And my goals are on my character sheet for once. For the past several weeks, they have not been. wake up Horatio Long and have a good chat. We did not have a good chat, but we had a chat.
Yeah.
Find anyone on the vault who would have further information about the how and why of my creation. We did not make it back to the vault.
Mm-hmm.
And figure out what the heck is up with Sinclair, which I did not do that. I would say I made progress towards talking to the elder Dr. Long.
Yeah, you also made progress towards finding out what's with Sinclair. You like were tracking his going abouts and figured
right.
out
that's
like,
true.
That like he was on Landing Bay 8, which is where everything is happening. But but he wasn't going to that public site. So like, I mean, I think you got information on that. So
I agree. Right.
Busy.
So that puts you at 18 XP as well. So you are level 3-2.
Yeah.
Or level 5, sorry.
Level 5, yeah.
And for myself,
yes.
my goals were talk to Kay of RKMB to find out what I can pay them to get them off my tail. I think I'm real close. Next
yes.
session. We'll see.
Yes, I agree. Yes.
Solidify a relationship with Raven and Long via Dartha. Yes. So
yeah.
it was a complicated goal, but it was very important to me that I'm like, Dartha, what's up with this? And I feel like Dartha and I had a good resolution there. And so I'm on Team Fear right now. You know, and that really played out in the whole like, yeah, we're keeping this person prisoner and I'm going to go along with what you said, Ernest. I'm not going to like try and break him out because I get it that we're playing a long game and we're having to make difficult ethical decisions. But it was all about knowing that I had Dartha, the connection with Dartha. So that
nice.
Ensure Horatio Long can communicate. Horatio Long and Atlas can communicate. Yes.
Done. Yes. Got that was awesome.
Did give me the notepad. Yes,
good. All right. So cool. I'm going to be up to 18 and we'll do that thing. Exciting. That gives us at every fifth level, I think you get another +1 to attack bonus. Cause
right.
Because you're a partial. Because you're a partial warrior, so you know, +1 more of that punch skill.
That's right.
Gonna get real punchy.
And getting punchy. All right. We're kind of punchy. I almost mooned a 600-year-old man. well, this was a blast, Jay. This went from like very thoughtful introspective to like, oh my god, the world's on fire. So I'm glad we had that. That space. I definitely this had the same vibes as you're going into a black hole.
That's right.
So, nice tempo there. Anywho, I'm Sean Dittner. I use he him pronouns. You can find me on this channel quite often these days, streaming all sorts of games. We'll be playing Burning Wheel next Friday after next. And all sorts of stuff, and just check my Twitter. It's good times. We are getting ready to kickstart Thirsty Sword Lesbians, which I'm super excited about. Dominique is one of the contributing authors. They wrote a very cool setting for it. And my game Agon is going to be coming out in like 2 weeks. If you pre-ordered, you should have it, but if you're getting it in retail, you'll be able to get it October 5th. So all cool stuff. How about you, Dominique? What's going on?
I'm Dominique. I use they, them pronouns. I had an adventure out with Monty Cut Games, not so recently anymore, but we'll say it was recent. It's a heist on a space station. If you like Swords Without Number, you'd probably be into it. I also have a narrative game about a murder trial coming out this week, next week. It exists. It's done. I'm bad at marketing. It'll be here when it gets here. I said August, I'm late. Check my Twitter. I don't know. When it comes out, I'll tweet about it. I'm Dom S. Dickey on Twitter. I think I'm pretty funny on the internet. Hit me up. How about you, Tomes?
Tomes, Tomer Grants, he, him. And you can find me, T. Grants, at Twitter. Actually, we just had our second Strategicon Games on Demand thing this year, online nice. One. So yay. And I know I was just reading Jay's Games on Demand newsletter earlier today. So, but I'll let him talk about that if he wants to. Yeah, like, you know, we didn't have like a ton of people come, but man, it's just great to have a little bit of this consistency and being able to see friends you haven't seen in a while. You know, it's not like the real world, like in real life necessarily, but you know, sometimes you got to settle for the next best thing. And, you know, seeing friends you haven't seen in a while. We had a couple late night bar cons, like just that kind of socialization that we sometimes miss from these kind of like convention events or whatever. Other than that, just doing Story Games Glendale, and we do our indie RPG night every other week, and we do an RPG makers meetup on the other Tuesdays. So go check out that meetup group if you're interested. Normally we're LA based, but hey, the world is different now. So that's how we're rolling. Yeah, that's me. I'll hand it over to Jay.
I'm Jay. You can find me at MadJ0 on Twitter. I just wrapped up Games on Demand Online convention. That was awesome. Ended up doing a zine for it. You can grab it at gamesondemand.online. You just pull that zine down as a PDF. It kind of wraps up what we did for the convention. There's a couple of articles in there from folks and some metrics and stuff. We raised a little over $1,500 for the NAACP fund. And wow, it's been a rough week.
The Bail Project.
Yes, the Bail Project. Thank you. Oh my goodness. I also I will be getting prints for Bayser's Light this week.
Nice.
So that just wrapped up, and those prints are in the mail. So by the time we play again, I'll be showing off a print of that zine. So, and I think that will probably be what I run first on actual play.
Pew, 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 pew. Because Jay is joining us as another host on, yes, on AP.
Yes. So,
so even, I'm more, excited. Even more cool stuff on this channel.
But that's me. I'm going to sleep the rest of the week.
That sounds like a great plan. I'm here for it. All right. Well, friends, thanks for hanging out with us on an off day. This was a great session, and I'm looking forward to next Thursday doing it again.
Yes.
And seeing what happens, what we can make of this terrible, terrible situation.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's fine.
You say that, but then your actions suggest otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. Your
asteroids. It's not me. It's not me. I didn't send the asteroid.
You know, Jay, you're being a real asteroid. Sorry.
Nice.
Can I bring back one of Jay's quotes from the evening, though? Because I think I was really impressed with like a lot of like all the story stuff that came out, but you just had a quote I had to write down, which is, as a GM or facilitator, I like to have the mechanics give me the answers I don't have. And I just love that.
It's a good one. It's a good one. It's a good move.
Yeah, no, I like it. Or you can say I'm lazy and I just make the mechanics do it. So.
I'm here for playing, being true to the fiction.
Yeah.
Saying, well, do what the fiction demands.
Right.
If this person has a gun pointed at you 2 feet away, you can't escape unless you can think of some way to distract them, right? Like that's fair. And also, sometimes we don't know what the fiction demands. So we roll dice we find out.
I like it.
I'm down with it.
And I also say that there was a moment that came up, which was really cool, where, and you've done this a couple times during the sessions, and I don't know if this is something you do in different systems as well, but you would give the choice of which mechanic to use. You'd be like, okay, I can see you doing that as wisdom or dex, right? Because you can kind of see that play in both ways.
Right.
And leaving it to the player to kind of decide, you know, which one they want to use and what angle they kind of want to take. And if they're going to metagame or not, which is fine, right?
Right.
You know, I think that's great.
Well, many cheers for everyone, and we're going to say goodnight. So, thanks all.
Dropping cliffhangers like they were nothing, Jay. Man, talk about trouble on Tarakan Station. We've got Hope in the crosshairs of her bounty hunters, Prometheus threatening to send another asteroid to smash in the station, and Dartha trying to gather her remains and help Timothy, who has been hurt. Who gets to hurt Timothy? Nobody gets to hurt Timothy. We are very upset about this. This was the penultimate episode. Next one is our finale. We will discover the fate of Tarakan Station and of all of our characters. So stay tuned for all that good stuff.